Grace, mercy, and peace be to each of us from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's message is based upon the gospel reading, book learning versus practical application. Obviously, there's a significant difference between the two. A plumber, an electrician, an auto mechanic, even a doctor undergoes a period of classroom instruction. But then each of them undergoes further hands-on training as an apprentice or an intern to apply what they learned to the real world. Now, I imagine if any one of us here were going to hire a plumber to repair a broken pipe, we'd want to hire the individual who actually has fixed the pipe in the past, as opposed to the other guy who says, well, I read about it in a book, and I think I can do it. Probably wouldn't choose that second individual. Now, by the time Jesus tells this parable of the Good Samaritan, his notoriety is spreading. He's already performed numerous miracles among the people. He's healed lepers, various diseases. He's raised a widow's son. He's drawing big crowds. Think of the 5,000 who come. People are coming to hear his word, but also to seek healing. Jesus is becoming, in the eyes of the religious authorities, something more than a backwoods preacher that's going to fade away. He now begins to take on the impression that this guy could be trouble, and he's going to cause us some difficulties. So they've been trying to catch Jesus in some misstep. That's what they're trying to do. So far, no luck, but they're not giving up. And in today's gospel, Jesus is confronted by a lawyer who has, if you will, a lot of classroom and book knowledge. We read, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, asking Jesus what he had to do to inherit eternal life." Jesus knew full well what was going on. This was yet another effort to catch him in some misstatement. So Jesus, instead of answering the question, quickly turns the inquiry back on the lawyer. And he says to him, "What's written in the law? How do you read it?" Now the lawyer is well versed in the law. He's got the classroom learning, and he provides the book answer just as he would to a teacher in the classroom. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus responds, "You've answered correctly." Well, you'd think that's the end of it. You know, game over. The lawyer is not done. He tries again to catch Jesus in some misstep. We read the lawyer says, desiring to justify himself, puts a question to Jesus. "Who is my neighbor? I'll show him." You can just hear him. "I'll show him I'm smarter than him. I'll catch him yet. Who is my neighbor? I'll catch him breaking some rule." I think the guys here, probably more than the women, will remember a line that Clint Eastwood delivered in a Dirty Harry movie. And he says, "A man has to know his limitations." Well, this lawyer doesn't know his limitations, and he is going to come up against someone who's going to teach him a completely new and sombering lesson about who is my neighbor. Now, if we're all honest, we all put limitations on who should qualify as our neighbor. And I'm not talking about a geographic neighbor, but the person who we are to love. Well, that sure limits for me the parameters of those I want to consider my neighbor. My wife, my husband, my children, those who agree with me politically, some close friends, fellow members of the church, they qualify as my neighbors. However, that guy that cheated me in that business deal or tried to kick my dog or rejected my Christian beliefs, they clearly aren't my neighbors. And therefore, any obligation to love that person doesn't apply. The gospel message does not give us any indications as to what limitations the lawyer was looking to place upon who's his neighbor. But we can reasonably be sure that that lawyer, just like me and us here today, placed limitations on who is my neighbor. Now, Jesus knew this lawyer had some preconceived ideas and limitations regarding who should be his neighbor. But in this parable, Jesus shatters those assumptions, and he upsets that lawyer and probably all of us who try to put limitations on God's word. Let's set the scene for where Jesus sets this parable. When I was in Israel last fall, we made a side trip on our way from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, there's a main highway that goes down, but the bus took us on this side road, and it had some pavement, but you couldn't pass another vehicle. If a car came in the opposite direction, you had to pull over. And the guide told us that this road in the time of Jesus was known as the Road of Blood. It descends 17 miles and about 3,400 feet from Jerusalem to Jericho. And even today, there's no vegetation, there's no water. You got these hills on both sides, barren stone-covered hills. Nothing could ever possibly grow. Now, the Roman authorities, they had no permanent posts on this road. They were concerned with the population centers. That's where their interests were. And if some guy happened to be robbing some traveler on the road, as long as that didn't mess with the Roman authorities, not a big deal. Leave it alone. Now, in the parable, we're told that a man without identification is traveling on the road, and he's beaten up by robbers and left for dead. The parable goes on. We know the parable. Along comes a priest, and along comes a rabbi. And they say, this guy laying in the road, and well, I'm going the other way. They don't want anything to do with this guy. And think about our lawyer now. And who is his friend? Who is his neighbor? Probably that priest and rabbi qualified for that lawyer as his neighbor. And what he's feeling, we don't know. But what happens then is that along comes a Samaritan. Now, you can just see this lawyer, Samaritan, one of those guys, those half-breeds, those people that don't follow the law. But what's the Samaritan do? He stops. He helps the guy. He picks him up. He takes him to an inn. You know the story. It just seems odd. And you wonder, how did the lawyer react to that? We're not told, but I'm sure it upset him. The people who he thought were his neighbor ignore the man, while this outsider, he extends the help. And I wonder if we at times, like the lawyer, want to set our own standards when God's standards conflict with what we prefer to happen. Now, the story doesn't end there. Perhaps if it was you or I telling the story, we would think to ourselves, looking at the lawyer, gotcha, take that, and walk away. Jesus, however, is not done making his point. He has provided a practical application, taking the literal word of the law and applying it to a real-world situation. And that same question, he now goes to the lawyer and puts the question to the lawyer to see if he understands the lesson. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Lawyer doesn't have much choice. He's got one answer: the guy who showed mercy. And Jesus wraps up his conversation with the words, you go and do likewise. This is basically the same thing that Jesus said when the lawyer answered the question of who was his neighbor. Do this and you will live. Jesus has taken not only the lawyer, but he's taken you and me from the classroom to a practical application of who is our neighbor. Jesus' words, not only in this parable, but throughout his entire ministry, takes God's word out of some abstract box and applies them in the real world. The message is clear. We as Christians are called to do more than know God's word. We're called to live out those words. As Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, so we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We are called to move out of the classroom, complete our apprenticeship, and become full-fledged journeymen, sharing the good news of our Lord and Savior in both words and action. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we are without limitations. Who is my neighbor? I have difficulty with that. You know, there's certain people that say, that guy can't be my neighbor. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we are without limitations. As Jesus told his disciples, talking to me, talking to us, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. To God be the glory. Amen.